are interviewing today Mrs. Bertie Gilbert from the city of Tulsa.
Broken Arrow.
And Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Ms. Gilbert is a longtime resident of Oklahoma, and I'm sure she will relate a lot of history to us. Mrs. Gilbert, let's begin this interview, who is today given by James Cadigan for the Oklahoma Living Legends, Oklahoma Christian College. Mrs. Gilbert, when did you first come to Oklahoma?
Oh, I started putting that to me. I come to Oklahoma, to Catoosa, October the 27th, 1907. I was born in Arkansas, Carroll County, in 1983. I come here with my mother and father, seven brothers and sisters. I'm going to get it all mixed up. Traveled. You think we better stop? Traveled 12 miles from Catoosa in the edge of the Verdigris Bottom in Springtown vicinity, west of Lock and Dam number 18. The bottom was a wilderness at that time. A man could not ride through if he did not go a cattle trail. My father was John U. Norris. He was a farmer, trapper, hunter. He farmed for Jimpsy Shilaki and Nancy the first year and hunted and picked up pecans for a living. He had a string of hounds and traps. In 1925, he was Oklahoma's champion trapper. We could go in the river bottom, killed wild hogs for our meat. Nancy Shilaki told me to go and dig sweet anison roots to put in the lard to give a sweet smell. We went on the Adams Creek and dug it. My father carried the first ballot box to our house and held election that was held in Adams Creek Township. The election is now held in Conklin Schoolhouse. He was a Democrat. 6 years later, I married John L. Gilbert. We drove to Tulsa in a two-seated surrey, pulled by two mules, on November the 30th, 1912. Settled in the Conklin community, lived there 42 years. We was farmers. Broken Arrow was our trading post. At that time, Broken Arrow had no streets. I have saw wagons bogged down on Main Street. We farmed cotton mostly, raised hogs and cattle. He come to Oklahoma in 1901, settled on Adams Creek. Have two sons, one with American Airlines, O.J. Gilbert, of Los Angeles, California. Eugene Gilbert, with the Corps of Engineers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They graduated from Broken Arrow High School and then went to TU. I belong to the Farm Extension Club 52 years, still attend. My husband belonged to an organized band called the Anti-Horse Thief Organization. Catoosa was a very wild place, two or three killed in a week. The young people of today are not much worse than then. More of them, and word can get around faster with telephone and TV. Long hair and beard don't mean anything. The men wore mustache and the girls bangs. I heard of no drugs, but certainly was plenty of liquor, and it was against the law. was shipped into Catoosie. I know one woman made a trip every week there. And it certainly was unlawful. There was a boy, Floyd Jones, got his throat cut just below our house, a Childers and a McCullough, in 1915, killed him. One held his hands around a tree, the other cut his throat, and gambling was the men's pastime. They was drunken gambling, both men, when they done it. They both died in McAllister prison. No schools at that time. When I was 5 years old, we come to Grove, Oklahoma, in a wagon train. There were no schools.
Mrs. Gilbert, during this time, your first experience here in Oklahoma, what did you have to overcome, and what obstacles were in your way to obtain some schooling?
Well, my dad got a big wooden box and brought it home from town and fixed some benches in it and hired a woman to teach my sister Willard and I. And we went to school every morning in this big box. We stayed at Grove, Oklahoma a year after that and went back to Arkansas and stayed till I was 10. Come back to Grove and then come on down to Catoosa. My father was an old-time fiddler, played for all the dances, square dances. Nancy Shalaki also rode with Belle Starr. My father and my husband, after I were married, made caskets because the mud and winter was so bad that they couldn't get into town to get them. And I have lined caskets and fixed them for them. So now then.
Mrs. Gilbert, when you first arrived in Oklahoma, relate to us some of the happenings that took place during this time, such as how you, the method of transportation, you arrived here in Oklahoma, and also the members of your family, like your sisters and brothers and your mother and father. Tell us something about your first arrival in Oklahoma and your impressions of all of it.
Well, I was 5 years old the first time when we come to Grove, Oklahoma. And I come in a wagon train with my mother and father and my mother's sister, Esther Crittenden. She married while we were there. And she married Wash Powell. And they were my mother and my father and two sisters in our family. And I was the oldest child of John U. Norris. And he was born and raised in Arkansas and was a hunter there also. And when we come to Oklahoma, we come in this wagon train with another family by the name of Underwood. And two or three nights after we left Arkansas, was on the way, and the roads were terrible. We couldn't hardly get through. And we crossed White River, and it was really scary. I was just 5 years old, and it almost scared me to death. And we traveled on and got to our camping place that night, and there were two grown boys in this other wagon, and they got into a fight, and one of them busted a cedar bucket over the other's head, and my aunt took me and my other sister and run off in the bushes while they got them settled. Then, when we come on, we come to Southwest City, Missouri, and we stopped there and bought feed for our horses. And we drove on out, and I'd always been scared of Indians, although I have a little Indian blood in me. And I thought we'd be scalped, is what I thought. And so, sure enough, we went on out of Southwest City and camped for dinner. And there were some Indians come up on little ponies with moccasins on. And they told my dad, says, you went in our field and got corn for your horses. And he told them, no, he didn't. He stopped in Southwest City. And they said, oh, yes, you did. And he says, if you don't pay us for it, says, we'll go back and get a posse. And so my dad took out a silver dollar, I'll never forget it, and held it up, and they said, yes, that'd be all right. And they took the silver dollar and went off a-hooping and a-hollering. So we drove on in to Grove then and got settled, and I was really happy little girl to get off of that trip.
Ms. Gilbert, we understand that some of your ancestors came to this part of the country with the Trail of Tears. Can you give us some background on that? And since you're of Indian descent, did you have much difficulty in getting on the Indian roads during this time?
My father's great-grandfather come on, on the Trail of Tears. And they come to Arkansas long before Arkansas became statehood. And when Oklahoma was... they allotted the land to the Oklahoma. Why he come, my father did, to put myself and my sister Willard and my sister Nellie on the rolls. And I don't know whether he put us on the rolls or not, but anyhow, he went to Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, and worked and got money to come back to Arkansas on. And when they proved up on the land, he couldn't get money to come back to prove up. So that left us out. And when he come back from Paul's Valley, he had his hair long like the Indians wore it, and braided in real long black braids. And us kids didn't know what to think of that when he come back. But I have a little bit. It's not much, but I have a little bit of Indian blood. Cherokee.
Now, I'm going to get you. Mrs. Gilbert, during the early days, your husband, as a member of the Anti-Horse Thief Association, must have had quite a few experiences and to do with the association and the conventions. Wonder if you can bring us up on some of the goings-on at this time.
Well, the first time he ever come to see me, before we were married, he brought his picture, and he had been to this Anti-Horse Thief Association. And I have the picture and also the ribbon that they pinned on his coat. And it was in 1910. And the reason why they organized this Anti-Horse Thief Association was because that the good horses, they couldn't keep them. People would come in at night and keep them and ride them clear out of the country. And at that time, you know, a horse could go pretty fast and get away in a night. And they would take them out and sell them as valuable. And that is about all I know about the... Horse Thief Association.
Ms. Gilbert, you have a lot of experience with the northeastern Oklahoma and central Oklahoma, dating way back. We would like to hear, why don't you give us some of your impressions on early days on the farm in Wagner County, and also what you and other members of your family had to go through in order to secure an education in comparison to what the children of today has in the way of education.
Well, we were cotton farmers, and it is a pretty hard life. We would pick our cotton and take it to Broken Arrow and pay our bills, and when we'd get them paid, we wouldn't have very much left for to live on. And my husband worked hard, and I worked hard with him. I believe in a husband and a wife, going hand in hand in anything that they do. And our children had a real hard time of getting their education too. And my husband introduced the first peanut that is raised in Wagner County. Mr. Bob Jeffries was the county agent at that time, and he took a lot of pictures of us that was in the farm paper, and shocking. And my husband really knew how to shock the peanuts to make them look bright and pretty when they went to thrash him. They said he really knew how to take care of them. And education, I wish the boys and girls of today knew how hard it was out in there to get to a college or a high school. My boy, my oldest one, OJ, he would go to high school. He'd walk as far as 5 miles to catch the bus. The roads were so bad and so muddy that a bus couldn't get through, so they would call out, and he would meet them wherever they could get. And at times he had to stay with a family closer to Broken Arrow by the name of Rafferty. Harold Rafferty was his buddy, and he would stay there. And if he didn't have enough money to buy his lunch, why, Mr. Rafferty would give him money to eat on until he could get back home to get his money. So boys and girls, take advantage of everything you can and get education, for that is what counts in life. I know, because I didn't have any. I had to work in the cotton fields and take care of 7 children smaller than me and never had any education. So I feel inferiority about not having an education. But thank God I've stood the test and had a wonderful life.
Mrs. Gilbert, in these early days, how did you arrive, or how did you manage to get to church, and what part did you play in bringing religion to your part of that you were in your county, and what did you remember as in your family taking care of the religious prospects?
Well, there was a lady come from Wagner by the name of Hopkins, and she started a Sunday school in Springtown, and we went there for a long, long time to Sunday school, and we studied the New Testament. That's the literature we had. And I met my husband at Sunday school, and he gave me a testament. I still have the testament, and that was in 1910, I believe. And then this lady got a preacher to come in from, by the name of Peters, and he held a revival. And my mother, when she went to die, she had called me to, they had called me to her bed, and she looked up and saw me, and she says, "Oh, Bertie, raise my little children up to meet me." And it made me think that there was a higher power and that I should get right with the Lord. And I did. I went to the revival, and I got saved when I was 18 years old. And I'm not sorry to say that I worked very hard for our Lord all these years. And then when we moved in the Conklin vicinity, why, we had church services in it, and we worked hard to keep a little service going, and it was undenominational at Conklin, but at Springtown it was Baptist.
Ms. Gilbert, I know that from your experiences that you have related to us here, that you must have quite a background on the remembering of what we went through and what you and your family went through during World War I and II.
I certainly do. I'll never forget that. In World War I, I worked in the bomb drives. We had a sale. Bluford Patrick of Catoosa, Oklahoma had a sale. And we women worked hard to have serve lunch there. It is all turned over to the bond drive. And Mr. Bluford Patrick gave us a pig. We put that up and sold it. I don't remember what it brought, but it brought runaway up there, and then the man that bought it, he gave it back to us, and we put it up, and it sold a second time. And I was young then, and I had Victory Garden. I had a Victory Garden for 3 years. I have their certificates now in good shape that I'm very proud of. And I've also got my 50-year gold pin from Wagoner County Extension Club. They were only six women in Wagoner County that got it, and I was one of them, which made me very happy to know that I had worked to help benefit somebody else. And my oldest boy was in 4-H, and I worked very hard helping him with all of his plans. And in World War II, we had to raise our own food, and we had molasses mill, and I learned to use molasses in everything instead of sugar. And I can make real good gingerbread yet. And I really enjoyed the work. Have always enjoyed helping someone else. And we couldn't get gas to keep our little Sunday school and things a-going, so I walked 2.5 miles Sunday morning and back in order to keep our little Sunday school going. Then finally, we got a little more gas, and there was a lady by the name of Mrs. Berry come in, and we kept our church a-going in that community, which I'm very thankful. But I'm sorry to say it's not going now. But I hope to see someday a big church built in the Conklin community.
Ms. Gilbert, would you give us your age at this time and also your residence?
I'm Bertie Norris Gilbert, and I live at 410 East Broadway, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And my age is 78 years. And I'm happy to be an Oklahomian.
We have just completed a very pleasant interview with Bertie Norris Gilbert in the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, from the library in the Civic Center. Your interviewer has been James Cadigan for the Oklahoma Living Legends of the Oklahoma Christian College. On this date, January the 17th, 1972.